Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game 5 NBA Finals tonight. Is Dan, are you okay in there? Dan just dropped the phone. Are you okay?
I didn't hit my foot. We're good.
All right,
and
good.
I didn't break the phone either, so we're good times too.
It's Game 5. I thought that the Oklahoma City Thunder would win Game 4, if you recall, last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been butchering predictions all playoffs long.
You have.
So I thought they'd win Game 4, and I think they're going to win the series. Because I said whoever wins Game 4 is going to win the series.
Okay.
So that means OKC. I wonder if our buddy who's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline agrees. From HoopsWire.com, fresh off his Father's Day celebration, he's Mr. Sam Amico. Hello, Sam.
Hey, Sammy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Couldn't be finer. How about you?
You didn't go to Hoosier Gym for Father's Day, did you? What's the name of the gym itself?
I forgot. No, but if the family had asked, what do you want to do, that's where we would have been. That they
just so the three of you could shoot free throws in a movie set.
Right.
Yeah, I get it.
Right.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Respect it.
Exactly.
Sam sent me video. What was it? 2 weeks ago. Sam has a son who made his first basket on a 10-foot hoop in the Hoosier gym.
Oh, congratulations!
Yeah,
I can feel
couldn't
it.
Have been pressed. Couldn't have been. I said you're no longer grounded now that you made that basket. So he was excited.
Before we get to the trade that is big, Game 5 tonight, Thunder, Pacers. Did the tide turn in Game 4 when Oklahoma City went to Indianapolis and won Game 4? And are they the favorites now? Or do you expect the Pacers to bounce back nicely?
You know, first of all, it's pretty wild to me that we're talking about the Pacers and the Thunder in the middle of June.
Yeah.
For the NBA Finals. But, and obviously Indiana had that game in Game 4. They're the team that's usually coming back in the final moments and winning the game. And here we saw Oklahoma City do that on the road. It's hard to get a gauge on this series. I think these teams are about as evenly matched as you can get. But, you know, look, you have three games now, best of three, and two of them would be in OKC. I think that that would pretty much give the big edge to Oklahoma City to be able to take this. And this may go seven. It may, you know, it very well could. So, now after seeing Indiana take the 2-1 lead and thinking they were going to win it, now I've gone back to saying Oklahoma City's probably going to get it done.
I did, but Indiana's so weird. They thrive in the other gym. Like, maybe they split, but they still seem to thrive when they play on the road. They don't seem to care at all.
They seem, you're right, Andy, yeah. And they seem to thrive when everybody has counted them out, which has happened probably 20 times from, you know, the start of the playoffs. So, I mean, this is right where they are. And we heard Tyrese Halliburton say the other night, we're just, you know, we remain confident. We don't care where we play or how much we're trailing by. I think we've proven that. So this is a situation where, yeah, you'd be silly to completely count them out because they've been able to time and time again overcome these situations where it's not looking good. So,
Sam Amico joining us from HoopsWire.com. We had another one of those kind of deals yesterday. Not officially announced, but it looks as if Desmond Bane going to the Orlando Magic from the Memphis Grizzlies. He's a real good player. Is he, you know, top of the heap NBA talent? I don't think so, but he's really good. And among other things, what, two players, Cole Anthony, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, four number ones and a pick swap going to Memphis. I think these trades are insane, Sam. And, you know, Rudy Gobert gets traded in one to Minnesota. Donovan Mitchell gets traded in a deal like that to the Cavs. DeJounte Murray, Pascal Siakam. I don't know that we're going to know how these are playing out yet because most of those picks are still to be used by those teams. What was your initial reaction when you saw that deal?
Yeah, I thought that was, look, Orlando, everybody in the East and can make this case. We can be next year's Pacers, right? Well, Orlando's biggest problem is they shot 31% on threes all year. So a guy like Desmond Bane, who shot 42% on threes for a career, is exactly what they need, right? They need a guy who's going to help out Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner and create some outside shooting. And if Jalen Suggs stays healthy, well, now you have a pretty tough backcourt. And we saw the Pacers, that's what they have, and Nembhard and Nesmith. So they look at it, I'm sure, like four first-round picks sounds like a lot, but three of those are the Magic's. So they're figuring we're going to end up in the 25-30 range draft-wise anyway. Not a huge loss. The one big pick in there is the lesser of the Suns and the Wizards next year, which could be a lottery pick. It's not protected. So that's why the Grizzlies made the deal. But the Magic are looking at this like the Cavs, the Knicks, maybe the Sixers, maybe the Bucks. We can be next year's Pacers. Now, the Magic could still lose in the first round next year. So could the Cavs, the Knicks, the Sixers. But they're looking at it like Indiana made this run. We can do that too. And I think that with the window being wide open in the Eastern Conference, or at least, you know, you're thinking it's wide open. Well, we went out and got a really, really good number three guy who can make outside shots. So filled a need, gave up four picks. It sounds like a lot, but I look at that and I'm like, well, they're thinking those picks are going to fall, you know, in the late 20s. And that's not a huge deal. So I like the trade for the Magic, sadly. I think that puts them up another level. Bane's not an all-star, but he fills a need, and he does it, you know, supposedly very well.
Sam, if you're the Cavs and you see that deal, do you feel like you've got to work some kind of magic to make sure you're better than Orlando? I hate to use that word magic, but...
too late.
Yeah, do you feel pressure to make a move? Does that put pressure on the front office where you... I don't know. There's just fear of missing out, I think, sometimes from the Cavaliers. Not that the front office is like that, but historically, yeah, there's been some fear of missing out, I think, over there.
Yeah. I think probably more than that trade is what they saw from themselves in the playoffs. And you know, realizing, look, we finished 64-18, so we had a pretty good total body of work. We just didn't get it done when it mattered, which is, you know, May and June. And how do we get there? I don't think that this fear or this trade, Andy, is going to strike fear in them, but I think they realize, look, Orlando is pretty good already, and they just fill the need. They'll have Suggs coming back from injury next year. This is a tight race here in the Eastern Conference. What do we do to turn 64-18 into a berth in the finals? How do we get there? And so even before this trade, they've been exploring things and looking at things and talking to people and seeing what kind of deal they can pull off, if any. I think that this deal, though, Andy, this trade with the Magic and Grizzlies probably does make them realize, okay, Orlando just got better, you know, at least on paper. So, you know, how do we get better? And they've been exploring that even before this trade.
Sam Amico joining us, hoopswire.com, Sam's website, where he's all over everything that's going on in the NBA. If I'm the Cavs and another team in the East now can roll out a backcourt. Let's say it's Suggs, 6'5", 6'5", along with Banchero and Wagner, 6'9", 6'10", and competent center play with Wendell Carter and Goga Patesi. I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly, and in the middle, and they'll make some other moves. And I'm the Cavs, and I still have the smaller backcourt. Am I still comfortable, or am I thinking, man, this might not fly, and we might have to make some kind of a move?
Yeah, I think they're probably considering that. You know, I think more than anything from everything I'm hearing is they want to keep the core four together. That's the plan. Now, how do we add reinforcements around them? That's kind of a conundrum. You know, because you're up against the salary cap issues. You don't have a lot of pieces that people are clamoring for. You know, a lot of these trades that we're hearing, or at least trade rumors with Isaac Okoro and Dean Wade, can you trade them and get guys who fill a need that are similar type of players numbers-wise and probably minutes-wise? But I think that, yes, look, we have a smaller backcourt. That's okay. They have to guard us too. But we need depth there. We need some toughness. And how do we go about getting those things, given all our, I don't want to say labor issues or salary issues under the new labor agreement, but how do we go about finding toughness in the backcourt? And Jeff, yeah, maybe some size. Do we have to give up Darius Garland to get tougher? I don't think that they think that, but I think they're open to finding out.
What do you think the value is on Okoro or Dean Wade?
Well, can you fill a need? I think there's value there. They you know, they're both strong wing defenders, and we've seen in the finals what's gotten these two teams above everybody else with the Pacers and the Thunder is their ability to defend the wing and have physical guys who can defend the wing. So Wade and Okoro do have some value in that sense. And with the Cavs looking for a real, true, playable power forward backup center type, you could probably find one of those guys with either Wade or Okoro. So I think they do have some value, but you're looking, you know, when you trade one of those guys, you trade a guy who's playing half the game, maybe you're getting a 15 to 20 minute guy. You're not getting a starter or a major contributor. And I think that that's possible. So that's why they're presumably floating their names out there to find one of those, fill one of those needs, which is particularly someone to back up Jared Allen and Evan Mobley.
In other words, stay tuned, because the finals will end, free agency will begin, the draft, and even more trades to come. Sammy, thank you. You can read all about it at hoopswire.com whenever anything goes down in the NBA. Sam and his staff all over everything, hoopswire.com. Thanks, bud.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. We'll chat with you soon.
Sam Amico.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm kind of the same way, but I kind of love it. And I'm wondering what you think. 216-474-0092.
You know, you can listen to The Fan anytime, anywhere on the free Odyssey app or by telling your smart speaker to play 92.3 The Fan. And now you can find 92.3 The Fan on YouTube. Subscribe to on our channel and watch all of the best content from your favorite shows on The Fan each and every weekday.
I kind of love this NBA Finals. Why?
Because it's 2-2 and we could be at 7?
No, because of the way the teams in it are playing. They don't play the exact same style, certainly. Oklahoma City, really good defensive team, and they're based around a guy who, even though most people around the NBA don't know him extremely well, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a really big-time player, and the MVP of the league, and deservedly so. He was outstanding. And Jalen Williams is really good. And then they have some nice pieces around those guys. And so they've got a really nice core moving forward, a really nice all-around team. But it's based around a superstar. And Indiana has a team that's based around some really good players. Tyrese Halliburton, really nice player, and he's a point guard. And, you know, remember, that means he's not, you know, he doesn't have to score 40 every night. He's a point guard. Pascal Siakam, really nice player out on the wing. Nesmith, Nembhard have been outstanding, and Miles Turner's played just great in the postseason. Though these are smaller market teams, Andy,
mm-hmm.
I personally am enjoying the heck out of it. I wonder if it's good for the NBA. Do you think it's good for the NBA that these two teams are there, or is this going to be one of those, oh yeah, remember that year it was Indiana and Oklahoma City? And then, you move on and you think, okay, here comes Luka and the Lakers. You know, here comes LeBron and the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes Tatum and Brown again in the Celtics. I wonder, though, because Oklahoma City is young, good, and they have assets like crazy in the years ahead still. Their general manager, Sam Presti, made all kinds of trades. Remember, they bailed on guys and they were the recipient of those send us first round pick deals.
Yeah.
And they've been able to milk that into where they are right now. Indiana has given up first round picks. They did to get Pascal Siakam. Clearly it's worked for them because here they are in the NBA Finals. But they're young. They're going to be around for a while, especially if they're able to keep Miles Turner. I think it's great for a basketball fan, but I'm not sure it's great for the NBA.
Because of the market size or because of the way they're playing or because...
Yes, yes.
You don't have gigantic names.
Yes.
I mean, you should
all,
have two.
All of the above.
But at some point, you've got to start, right? You got to start somewhere to have big names that could come out of this series. And then you wonder, well, how long are they going to stay there? Are they going to end up going to somewhere else? I don't know. I do know. I think it's tough for the NBA to have a team in Oklahoma City and a team in Indianapolis in the finals. But if they can do this every year, Jeff, and their guys become household names, I mean, you know that there are two guys coming out of the series that easily could be household names. And I also think that something you said earlier was important, that when you get a dynasty team, they become memorable, right? So
yeah.
If Indiana can keep going back to the finals and maybe win two, that people will remember Siakam, and they will remember Halliburton, and they will remember Turner and Nembhard if you can keep those guys together.
I think it's more likely that Oklahoma City becomes that team.
Okay, either way, I'm just saying.
Daniel, do you agree with that? Could Oklahoma City take on a Cavs with LeBron, a Golden State with Curry type of outlook from fans where you buy in and you're all about it?
If SGA keeps playing the way that he is, yes.
Even though he's, and personality-wise, he's not the most flamboyant, guy. He's not out there from a personality standpoint. He's not selling it like, a lot of stars might. But, man, his game is just terrific.
This is the modern NBA. And by that, I mean, when you lay this out, Jeff, it's a four-year window. Because what's going to happen is the same thing that's happening to the Cavs right now, which is you're going to pay these guys. And then you're going to start running into that first apron. And then you're going to run into that second apron. And then you're going to have to unload all of them. And then the next group is going to show up. And you're going to have a four-year window. And so then you got to pay these guys. And then you're going to hit that first apron. Then you're going to hit the second apron. And now you're going to have to completely undo everything. We are in this cycle right now. You're going to watch it with the Celtics this offseason as they're going to talk about Drew Holiday and Drew Holiday trades and maybe Kristaps Porzingis having to find his way elsewhere, maybe a Derek White trade. Why? Because they're also in cap hell. This is the modern NBA and what is going to happen to all of these teams. It's all going to be a run of 4 to 5 year windows.
All right, so let me ask you this. Let's turn it to Cleveland. They just finished year three with this group. Is that 4 or 5 year window just opening, or did it open 3 years ago?
It's been open. And as long as they're willing to pay people, I think it's going to stay open, right? Andy, am I off base with that thought?
They just can't
improve the window stays
a whole lot of what they have, right?
I have this weird thing with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, right? Because you wonder, one...
So what restraining orders are for, Andy?
No. My weird part is that he doesn't have an agent, right? He does everything on his own.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't have an agent.
I'll trust you on that.
He represents himself in contract negotiations.
That's fair, cool.
If that's fair.
Hi, give me the max. Thank you.
Well, I mean, yeah, and he's looking at a supermax because he's fulfilled all the obligations, but I don't know. You just wonder...
Taking three picks after Colin Sexton. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I wonder what his future is, and I wonder about it more so. Like, if he knows he's just going to sign the supermax, life is good for him, right? How much more money is he making that's not going into an agent's pocket?
Yeah.
So
I think it's 4% now, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's like, I wonder what's going to happen. And is he good? And you go back to the original question about, is he good for the NBA? I don't know. I don't, like, does that add to his superstar power? And like, what happens if he, you know, I got Supermax in my pocket, life is good, I'm going to stay here for another 5 years after this, which makes you think players are going to want to go to Oklahoma City to go play with him. Maybe.
Yeah. It might be great for Oklahoma City. You may end up with a whole bunch of people wanting to show up there and a building of a 4-year run. Guys, this is...
But this is all going to start next year, right? Because he's in year three of five. So
we'll use them as the example. So they're going to have to pay him. They're probably going to have to pay Jalen Williams, right? Mm-hmm. The guard Jalen Williams / forward Jalen Williams. They paid Lu Dort. They're going to have to pay Chet Holmgren. Now, they got a couple years before they have to do that. But we've just laid out about five guys that they're looking to pay, which is going to shut everything down, and it's going to make them really hard to operate unless they draft fantastic, which Sam Presti could do such things.
Yeah, they might. They just might.
Do you like the fact that the NBA seems to be penalizing teams who draft well?
No, I hate it.
Because that's what's... the Cavs are in that spot, too. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Do we like this idea?
I guarantee you that aggravates the folks in Independence Bat.
Cavs hit on Darius Garland. Cavs hit on Evan Mobley. Well, and then Evan goes out and does the disservice of being Defensive Player of the Year.
I don't know why. If your guy becomes defensive, should that money count towards the cap? I don't think so.
Your salary.
But that should trigger
escalators in the contract, Andy. That's salary, man.
But that's all CBA generated money. That's different than maybe you would on a negotiated contract. You see what I'm saying? Like, why should the Cavs be penalized trying
because,
to get other players
develop their guy?
Yeah, like that's not right.
This has been eating at me for like 2 years. This is one of those things that
I have this conversation over the weekend too.
Why are we penalizing teams for being built the way the league wants them to be built?
Which is kind of where this is, isn't it?
It's the same way I feel with Boston and the situation there. And it's like, they made a bunch of really smart moves, brought in a lot of talent, and now they have to unload all of it because they did it this way. Denver, same exact problem. Had to get rid of... the kid that just got traded.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Had to get rid of him, had to get rid of some other assets along the way because they built it the right way, and they had to pay Jokic, and they had to pay Michael Porter, and they had to pay
Aaron Gordon,
and they had to pay Jamal Murray. I don't know why my brain's not working today.
There's a lot of Jalen's going on in the finals. That's the
timing. But... But, like, why are we doing this? Is this really good for the game?
Yeah, see, that's the weird thing here, because Oklahoma City would appear to be sitting on the cusp of a dynasty.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, a 5 or 6 year run. But because of money's involved, maybe that's not the case. Chuck is in Shaker. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, how are you?
How was Father's Day?
It was
very
excellent.
Nice. Thank you.
Excellent.
Hope you had a nice one,
too. Yes. I did. Listen, I'm just calling. The Indiana Pacers and OKC, they're actually bringing a new thing into the league, which they're getting rid of that big three, it seems like, you know, that big three concept where, we had Love and LeBron and Kyrie. It just seemed like these guys, everybody in the lineup, you know, starting five and shoot and put the ball in the hole. So they just don't depend on three guys. It's just like a team effort. You know what I mean?
Yep, I get it.
It's been fun to watch, I think.
And they also play defense. I mean, you can have a guy in there that's a one-sided player. Like, let's say Okoro, you know, he's a good defensive player, but his offense, they'll just let him shoot threes all day, you know, unless he gets hot or something. But it's just that the NBA is changing away from that big three now, I think, and it just, you know, these small market teams are doing that because they don't have the money to have big threes and big fours, you know.
The problem, though, Chuck, is what Dana was just talking about. They might end up getting penalized because of it, you know, with the you're going to have to pay them and blah, 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 and then can't keep them together.
That bonus money shouldn't count towards the cap.
I heard. Okay, guys, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, Chuck, appreciate you calling. 216-474-0092 is the number to join us. The fact that you can look at the Eastern Conference next year, tell me who's going to win the Eastern Conference next year.
No idea.
I don't have any idea either.
It's Indiana until someone knocks them out. I'm going to tell you that right now.
The Cavs are going to be hard-pressed to be as successful regular season-wise as they were this last season, but doesn't mean they couldn't be the best team come playoff time. But I think you could say the same thing about Indiana. You could say the same thing about Orlando, New York, Detroit really coming on with JB. You know, what are they going to do? I mean, there are a number of teams that you can see easily finishing in the top six in the Eastern Conference, and I don't know that you could rule any of them out right now as a team that might be able to win the whole thing. I think they have a chance to do it. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.